Welcome back to the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM, and we're finally going to get to talk to Matt Shook about NBA free agency, and in particular, the Pistons were active. It's not official. What they can't make it official until Saturday, right, Matt?
Yeah, July 6th is the end of the moratorium, which is one of the dumber things, because I think that they might have a trade that from draft night of Jordan Bowen, and he might not be able to play the first game of summer league, so he's going to get kind of screwed out of one game of summer league. So yeah, the NBA in its infinite wisdom won't allow things that everyone knows about to be official until July 6th.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, the NHL just says, okay, free agency starts at noon on July 1st, go get them. Why can't the NBA do the same thing? It just seems kind of silly to me. But anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that one for you.
Yeah. Derrick Rose, this would have been a great pickup 10 years ago. Matt, what kind of a pickup is it now?
Well, you know, basketball-wise, it's not too bad. And in free agency, what you got to do is you got to overpay for players. But that's why every player wants to get to free agency, so they can get all the money they could possibly get. And really, when you're looking at some of the contracts that are going on around the league, especially at point guards, we saw that Terry Rozier of Charlotte got like $58 million and to be presumably their starting point guard after being a backup in Boston for several years. So to get Derrick Rose at the dollar amount that they got, which is 2 years, $15 million, it's, yeah, like you said, he's not the player that he once was, not even close. He's gone through all sorts of injuries, ACLs on both knees, had a really rough time getting back into being an effective NBA player, had a couple of bad seasons with the Knicks and then the Cavs, and then the first season in Minnesota wasn't very good. But last year, he was, you know, his best season since all the injuries that he had in Chicago. So is he an all-star level player or anything close to an MVP level player? Absolutely not. But as far as guys who can get you a bucket in the second unit who are going to be your backup point guard, I think he's a little bit of an upgrade over Ish Smith. Now, of course, he's a different guy than Ish Smith, and Ish Smith was one of the easier guys to root for in the NBA, and of course, Derrick Rose is a little bit more complicated in that way. But you know, as far as a guy that can maybe push Reggie for some minutes late in games and be a player who could carry you on some nights, not consistently, but every now and then might explode for some points for some certain quarters every now and then, it's really not a terrible pickup for the Pistons.
They only got about 55 games out of him last year in Minnesota. Is that what we can hope here in Detroit, or can we hope that he can play close to the 80 games?
Well, injuries are always such a strange thing to project, but yeah, of course, I mean, he's a guy who you basically see get something like 60 games a year over these past few years. So yeah, I mean, it's reasonable to expect that that he's probably going to get at least, you know, some time missed because of an injury every now and then. But like I said, it's an awkward thing to predict because Reggie Jackson and Blake Griffin are two guys who you would project to have all sorts of problems with injuries going into last season, and then Reggie Jackson plays 82 games in every playoff game, and Blake Griffin up until the very end of the season was basically as healthy as he's been for the past 5 years. So, and you have to give some of the credit to the Pistons training staff for that, but of course a lot of it's just dumb luck and Pistons being lucky, and this year and maybe next year, all three of those guys, Rose and Jackson and Griffin, will end up being injured, and this will be something like a 30-35 win team. So you never really know, but that's why they made another move yesterday. They bring in Tim Frazier, a point guard from Milwaukee, on a minimum deal. A lot of listeners probably have never heard of him, and for good reason, but he's a 28-year-old point guard from Penn State who's, you know, Jose Calderon was in that third point guard spot last year, and that was just a nightmare when he played. He was over the hill and had no more useful NBA seasons left in him. But Tim Frazier, certainly not a guy who's going to move the needle in terms of lifting this team up to another level or anything like that, but an insurance policy in case Reggie and or Derrick Rose go down with an injury for extended time.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I remember him at Penn State. I don't remember him in the NBA.
Yeah, he had a couple of moments with New Orleans over the past couple of years, but yeah, another one of those black hole franchises that nobody pays attention to until, you know, maybe going forward with Zion Williamson. But and played for Milwaukee, actually played at the very end of every game that the Bucks swept the Pistons in this past year. Now, I know the Pistons fans had long turned the game off before Tim Frazier got in there. But yeah, a guy who's not a very good three-point shooter, but he's a reliable guy who can run the offense and be, you know, competent as far as running point guard, but not a guy who's going to be a difference maker.
How versatile is Rose? How versatile is Reggie Jackson? Do you ever see the Pistons putting both these guys on the floor at the same time?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, you saw that at the beginning of last season with Ish Smith and Reggie Jackson last year, and with Ish Smith's size issue, of course, he's small for a point guard, that becomes a defensive liability when those two guys are out there. Derrick Rose is also a defensive liability. He's a little bit better, I would say, of a defensive player than Ish Smith, but not in a huge difference-making kind of way. The reason that I would maybe suggest against playing those guys together on top of the defense is that really the reason that both of them are kind of in there is you want to limit their minutes. Now, sometimes with Ish, if he was playing well and he was healthy, you might want to find stretches to get him extra minutes if he's being effective. But with these two guys, Rose and Jackson, I think you're going to try to find as many ways as possible to keep those guys off the court, maybe even give them games off every now and then, give Tim Frazier some more minutes, or maybe even Jordan Bone, the rookie from Tennessee, as well. So I think that more likely you're going to see guys like Luke Kennard get more minutes this year. Bruce Brown, Svi Mykhailiuk, Khyri Thomas, those are guys that need to get a few more minutes. It's already kind of a crowded off-guard position. Now, none of those guys are guaranteed to be great players down the road, but certainly there's enough potential there that the Pistons want to find out really what they have.
So is the summer over for the Pistons now? Are they just interested in watching their young guys play at Summer League and they're done adding to this roster or subtracting from it?
No, I think you're going to see a couple more minor additions. Bigger names than Tim Frazier, lesser names than Derrick Rose. You're probably going to see two more guys. You definitely need a backup center. You got to replace Zaza Pachulia, unless you want to bring back Zaza Pachulia, but I wouldn't recommend that. But, yeah, they need a backup center to play minutes, not just a guy at the end of the roster. So JaVale McGee came and visited from he's from Flint, been a guy who's more known for his low lights, but really a kind of an effective bench player, especially rebounding and shot blocking. He's from Flint, so it'd be nice to see him back in the state of Michigan. So he's a guy that you might see popping up really any minute over the next day or so, or a few days, as a guy the Pistons might sign for a minimum deal as a backup center. And then there was a report on Sunday night that they talked to Jared Dudley as well from the Brooklyn Nets last year. Efficient three-point shooter, kind of a backup power forward, maybe even a small ball, tiny ball center, but a guy who's more known for his chemistry off the bench and just one of those locker room type of guys that teams like to have. So Jared Dudley and JaVale McGee, I would say I would be surprised if they didn't get at least one of those guys, maybe even both, or, you don't have to have 15 guys. And obviously there's some questions at the end of the roster about what the status of Jordan Bone and Dervitas Servetus, the second round pick, are going to be. So, and they can also be short of the 15 man roster limit before training camp as well. But certainly one more guy, probably two more guys. And then, there's always the chance of the trade. Like you said, I mean, it's Andre Drummond's a guy who might opt out next summer and is a guy who could be moved for some value right now. And a lot of Pistons fans would like to see that too. Reggie Jackson's a guy who's been in the crosshairs of fans for a couple years, and his health and lack of production at times when he has been healthy is part of the reason for that too. But I don't anticipate a big trade, but it's always a possibility in the NBA.
All right. So all the moves that they've made so far, are they any better than an eighth seed? And considering, too, things that other teams in the conference have done to make themselves better, where do you see the Pistons today in comparison to where they finished the season?
I would say they're slightly worse in terms of the Eastern Conference standings right now. I think that they've made slight, like Derrick Rose over Ish Smith, like I said, a slight upgrade. But I think that the health of Blake Griffin last year, the health of Reggie Jackson last year, you can't count on those things continuing. So I think that you're going to run into some issues health-wise with this team. And teams like the Chicago Bulls got a lot better. That's a team that might contend for a playoff spot. The Brooklyn Nets, who were kind of in the same category as the Pistons last year, they moved past the Pistons in terms of being a team that you would expect to certainly make the playoffs with Kyrie Irving being added this year. And then the Magic, they got better too. They re-signed Vucevic, they re-signed Terrence Ross, and added Al Farouk Aminu from Portland as well. So that's a team that got a little better. So not only did they not gain any ground on the teams 7-1 that are ahead of them, but there may be some teams behind them that are catching up to them too. So I put them at like 8.5-9 right now in the Eastern Conference, but you know, certainly a realistic chance of cracking the bottom of that playoff picture again.
So here are the Pistons, the only Detroit pro sports team that made the playoffs this past season, because the Tigers aren't getting there this year.
I don't know. Don't count out a big second half.
I've counted out the big second half. ranking the four teams, the Lions, the Tigers, the Pistons, and the Red Wings, who's in the worst shape right now, and who has the dimmest future?
Wow, it's a depressing question, that's for sure. The dimmest future is, you could make an argument for all four, for both of these, which is strange. I would say the dimmest future is, surprisingly, I'm going to say even the Detroit Tigers, because I just don't see the offense in the minor leagues. And I just think it's going to be a while for these arms to be impactful at the major league level. I don't think this year has gone very well. If you would have asked Al Avila and Tigers fans before the year, what would you rather have, and whether that would be these front-end top starting pitchers in the minors having good seasons or some hitters kind of emerging, they would have probably preferred the hitters emerging. So, yeah, they've got, you know, two, possibly three, four guys that could be major league starters down in the minors. But, man, if you don't have any kind of hitting, I think that's going to be problematic. So I think the Tigers are a ways away. You could certainly make an argument that the Pistons are the worst future, because, you know, their best guy is 31 this year with Blake Griffin, and not a lot of high-end talent unless you're a really big Sekou Doumbouya fan. The Red Wings certainly are still years away, but at least there's guys that you can project to being all-stars in the NHL there. And the Lions, man, that's just a crapshoot every year, and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, I'm assuming they're not going to make a deep run in the playoffs, but there's enough back-end talent on that roster where it can be a competent team throughout the season.
Yeah, that's the scary thought when you're going into looking at all of this, is that the best chance of a playoff win, and I'm not talking championship because I don't think any of the four are championship caliber teams at this point, but obviously, but the Lions, I think, have the best chance of winning a playoff game or series, because the other teams have to play series, but and because of the fact it's just a one and done gives them an advantage in that market. But yeah, the Lions might be our best team right now, and that's a scary thing for me to say.
Right, and that's given the fact that you're playing in a division with the Bears and the Vikings, and if you had to put me on the spot and say, are they going to be ahead of the Bears and the Vikings in the North, I'd probably say no. But that said, like, I think that this year might be a little bit different for the Lions, and that they might improve later on in the season, because, you know, obviously they'll have the new offense from Daryl Bevel that they might get used to as the season goes on. And plus, like I said, I think it's just kind of believed around the league and certainly within Detroit fans and media that this team is deeper than past seasons. So that as the injuries that are certainly going to come to every NFL team every season happen, the Lions drop off to the second string and the third string might not be as bad as it has been in recent years. So, and at least, you know, for all of Matthew Stafford's faults, at least you can count on him being healthy, knock on wood, throughout the season. So I think there's a chance that, you know, like the Lions could have a decent second half of the season, which is something we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah. All right. Tell them about the podcast.
Yeah, we're talking Pistons. We got the Summer League starting up on Friday, so we're doing all summer. Locked On Pistons is what it's called. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and you know, Google Play and all the Amazon Alexa, all the places you can find podcasts. Just say play podcast Locked On Pistons and it'll pop up there for you.
Perfect. There's Matt Shook, and we'll take a break and be back with more on the Dennis Stuckey Show in just a moment.